Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be with you as always this Lord's Day. We are already to the final Sunday of October, if you can believe that. We are continuing our saga through Mark's gospel account, and we're at chapter 9 today. So if you have a copy of God's Word, whether printed or digital or anything else, go ahead and open that to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And let's listen together, starting at verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer and much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, I echo the words that we just sung that were so beautifully written many years ago. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us now. Father, we come before you humble and in awe of your majesty. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word and that we can gather together under the banner of Jesus Christ. And we trust that you will speak to us now. So, Father, over the next few minutes, Lord, I pray that you will speak and your people will hear for the glory of your name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, this morning's passage in the Gospel of Mark is a unique one. It is exciting. It is confusing. It is awesome. And it also makes you scratch your head all at the same time. And what I want to do is point out a key thought that we can frame this message in, and that is this, that thus far in the journey of Jesus' life, from now onward, the road is going to be hard. The road ahead is going to be hard. We just heard in chapter 8 last week that Jesus was going to suffer, be rejected, and killed. That is certainly very hard. Jesus did not mince his words in chapter 8. He spoke plainly, it says. And what resulted was Peter took him aside and rebuked him. So, as many preachers do, I have 3 points for this morning's road ahead that's hard. Number one, when the road ahead is hard, look to the glory of Jesus. Number two, revel in the accomplishments of Jesus. And number three, remember the sufficiency of Jesus. So number one, for those who like to take notes, look to the glory of Jesus. Look to the glory of Jesus. I would like to suggest to you that the best thing you can do when the road ahead in your life is hard is look to the glory of Jesus. And I want us to think about today where our focus is in our life, the season of life that we find ourselves currently in. Where you focus your attention is paramount. Okay? And God gives us, along life's journey, glimpses of his glory. And the transfiguration that happened with the inner circle of disciples was an awesome glimpse into his glory. And we also can receive glimpses of God's glory, and that will give us the most, best form of encouragement, endurance, and motivation to face what is ahead. And that comes from Jesus' glory. So Jesus' inner circle of disciples saw with their own eyes raw glory. Look with me at verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. Verse 3, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. So the disciples received their first look at the true, unveiled, glorious person of Jesus Christ, who had previously been filled with humility. Jesus, the way he came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, an infant in a manger. That's very humble. And then he was raised to be a Jewish carpenter. I remember my Bible teacher in junior high saying that that is a equivalent to a modern-day garbage man, which they make pretty good money, so hey, that could be a good job. But this was not a high-class, high-respect position. And when we notice, as we are now well past halfway mark in halfway mark of Mark, that Jesus' life starts with humiliation and ends with exaltation. And the road ahead is certainly hard. And I would like to suggest that Jesus perhaps could use a little encouragement. So, are you fixated on your problems day and night? Are you focused merely on your deficiencies? Or do you delight in the glory and majesty and honor and power of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your focus on today? What is your focus on? So the disciples in Mark 9 have a mountaintop experience, both figuratively and literally. They went up to a high mountain. And it's interesting to note for us students of the scripture that it seems to be the greater the revelation with Jesus, the smaller the amount of witnesses. Think about also when Christ was raised from the dead. That absolutely amazing revelation. And just a few ladies were there. Today's text, the transfiguration. Amazing. Nothing short of miraculous. And only 3 disciples were there. So the greater the revelation, the smaller the witness. Okay, I want us to also think about Moses on Mount Sinai, his experience with God. When he came down from the mountaintop, the Bible says his face radiated with light. And I would like to share us a key lesson this morning. And this is true across the board of Christians. Someone who spends much time gazing at the glory of Jesus will radiate brightly to anyone they're around. Now, Moses, this glory came to him, and it rubbed off on others and eventually faded away. Jesus' glory came from inside him. And scholars believe that the transfiguration happened at night. Jesus had a habit of taking his disciples up to a solitary place, and you know, the Holy Land, the Middle East, is very mountainous, and so they went up at night, people believe, and imagine that the the disciples that were with him were very tired and very fatigued, and perhaps Peter's eyelids were getting heavy as they went up to the mountaintop, and out of nowhere, boom, the brightest light in all the world wasn't coming from the moon or shooting star or anything else, or those annoying headlights at night, those really blue ones. This was coming from none other than Jesus Christ himself. Now, what's neat is these guys were eyewitnesses to it. This was not hearsay. This was not legend. This was not written down through the ages. Eyewitness account. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. If I had seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe that it's true. One of my friends back in college days had a habit of videotaping funny things that college guys do on campus. And they eventually came up with a rule that if you didn't capture what person A or B did on video, it didn't happen. So if you didn't see it with your own eyes on video, it didn't happen. That was kind of the joke. Now, they obviously didn't have video back in Bible times, but these guys saw it with their own eyes. And John said in his gospel, we have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. And in him, there is no... And Peter, in 2 Peter, says this. Listen to this from 2 Peter chapter 1. As he's nearing the end of his life, he knows the end of his life is near, and he is struck many, many years after the fact of the transfiguration. He is struck and riveted to his mind this experience. Let me read a few verses to you. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that it will be soon put aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. He knows he's aging and nearing the end. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but were eyewitnesses to his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So that is Peter's remembering of the transfiguration. He was an eyewitness. He heard the voice of God. Wow. Well, when the road ahead is hard, look to the glory of Jesus. That's my number one. Look to the glory of Jesus. Number two is this. Revel in the accomplishments of Jesus. Revel in the accomplishments of Jesus. Verse 4 says this, and there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus. Wow. Now, Jesus had just gotten through telling his disciples about the difficult road ahead. And one would think that that would be a key opportunity for the disciples to band together, to step up, to offer some encouragement to Jesus, to read some scripture to him, to pray with him. Instead, he got rebuked. And he said, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." Very discouraging. Instead, the exact opposite happened. So, God sends Moses and Elijah to minister to Jesus. They were there doing what the disciples couldn't do. And what's neat about this time with these two giants of the scriptures is Jesus didn't have to lead them or comfort them or hold their hands or do what leaders do. He could be encouraged by them. He wasn't worried about their physical or emotional well-being. He wasn't constantly teaching them in parables. They were there to encourage Jesus. And I'd just like to say to you, if Satan sends a Peter to discourage you, God can send a Moses or an Elijah to encourage you. He can. And we got to look for that. So the question obviously becomes, why Elijah and Moses? There's a lot of characters in the Bible. What's so special about these two fellows in biblical history? Well, this points to my number two point, is reveling in the accomplishments of Jesus. Jesus himself comes to earth and finishes the work that was started by the saints of yesteryear. Jesus' accomplishments very much fall in line with what Moses and Elijah did during their lives some 1,000 years prior. Imagine for a moment this conversation. Imagine Elijah, it says they were talking to Jesus. Imagine Elijah saying, Jesus, by your life here on earth, you are fulfilling prophecies of old. You are obediently doing what we have prophesied of. So, Elijah represents the prophets. Elijah represents the prophets. And then imagine this, Moses turning and saying to Jesus, you, sir, by your example and teachings and love and actions, are fulfilling the law of the past. And you are here fulfilling it. So Moses represents the law. So Jesus is standing there with Moses and Elijah, a picture of all the law and the prophets coming to fulfillment in the God-man, Jesus Christ. What an amazing encouragement this must have been to Jesus when he knew the road ahead was going to be very, very hard. What a life he lived. What an amazing experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. A picture of the accomplishments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what I see here is just another example of how the Bible fits together so beautifully. So beautifully and amazingly. So what to do when the road ahead is hard? Number one, look to the glory of Jesus. Number two, revel in the accomplishments of Jesus. And number three, remember the sufficiency of Jesus. Remember the sufficiency of Jesus. Verse 5 says, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Here's the Pastor Mike translation. This is awesome. I'm so glad to be here. Let's keep this going. And then verse 6 is probably my favorite. It says, he did not know what to say, for they were so frightened. You know, Peter wanted to preserve the moment. Let's pitch three tents. Hang out. Let's hang out together. I mean, why not? Why not keep old Moses around? Why not hang out with Mr. Elijah? Well, Peter didn't know what to say. He was so frightened. Well, the best rule of thumb is, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything at all. But that was very much not how Peter was wired. I mean, that boy liked to run his mouth. That's how God made him. Okay, he would just talk, and get himself into all sorts of trouble. I mean, if he had a piece of duct tape on his mouth, he wouldn't be in half the trouble he was in. Interesting thought. Three tents, okay? Three people on the mountain. Peter thought, let's keep all three. Verse 7 gives us insight into God's response to that thought. And verse 7 says this, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice from the cloud, this is my son, whom I love, listen to him. In a parallel passage found in Matthew 17, says this, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. Peter wasn't even done talking, and God said, that's enough. I've got something to say. So God interjected and emphasized something very important that I want us to take with us this afternoon, and that is the sufficiency of Jesus Christ all by himself. Verse 8 says, suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone except Jesus. That is huge, loved ones. That is huge. Peter wanted to preserve all three of these men, but God interrupts and said, I don't think so. This is my son, Jesus Christ. Listen to him. And all that was left on the mountain was Jesus. Wow. Makes me think of the song, Always Only Jesus. So I say to you this morning that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Okay, who is a Moses and Elijah in your life? Who is someone of great encouragement to you in your life, strength and support to you personally? We all have someone like that. And perhaps God has called them home. Perhaps God has suddenly called them out of your life. Are you trying to hang on to them when they've been taken away? And anyone who suffered bereavement knows this pain, the pain of someone being called home and you're left behind. And to someone near and dear, when someone of a great joy and encouragement is taken away, God has a message for you. When all that remains in Jesus, I say to you today, Jesus is enough. Praise God for this person that was in your life and the encouragement that they offered in God's sovereign timing before he called them home. So, this ties into number three, remember the sufficiency of Jesus. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. And the beauty of placing our full fulfillment on the lordship of Jesus is that he will never be taken away from us, unlike a loved one. It's not possible. That's why verse 8 is so important. Suddenly, they looked around and no longer saw anyone except Jesus. And if you look around in your life and see troubles and a hard road ahead, regrets, shame, sin, and if you can see Jesus, you have enough. So what do we do when the road ahead is hard? We look to the glory of Jesus. We revel in the accomplishments of Jesus and remember the sufficiency of Jesus. And here's one for no extra charge. Listen to him. Listen to him. Is God speaking to you? Has God put a word on your heart and you know it? Listen to him. Well, I'd like to end on a gospel note, if that's okay with you guys. I think that's a great way to end a message. There's a powerful biblical parallel found in today's passage, and I don't want us to miss it, and it has to do with Moses being with Jesus. At the end of Deuteronomy 32, God says to Moses, because you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites, because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites, therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. That's referring to Moses entering the promised land. He never made it. You will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. And Moses eventually died and never made it to the Holy Land. Many of you know that story. Well, today, the Transfiguration, two men are standing there with Jesus in what we assume to be Mount Tabor in Israel, or there could be some other mountains. He is standing with Jesus in the promised land. He finally made it. What Moses couldn't do before because of sin, Moses can now do because of Jesus. Are you following with me? What Moses failed to achieve in his life with all the amazing things that Moses did, sin kept him from something. Now with Jesus, cross horizontally, he crossed vertically onto the promised land. He finally made it. And I say to you today, if there's something in your life that you cannot do because of sin, namely being reconciled to a holy God, you can do with the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you see that there? What an awesome passage of scripture we have today, guys. And we're just scratching the surface. So, Moses made it, and we can make it too by the blood of Jesus. To be made right with an almighty God. And if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, or if you know someone in your life that needs Jesus, all they have to do is confess their sins, believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, and they will be saved. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, I thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to walk on this earth. He came in the form of humility, and we saw a glimpse of glory, Lord, that riveted the eyewitnesses for the rest of their lives. Lord, I pray for someone in this room that needs a glimpse of glory, Lord, and I believe it can come by opening the scriptures and seeing your truths. God, speak to that person today. Encourage that person today, knowing that Jesus is sufficient. Lord, we love you, and we are honored to be a part of your church. I pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together. Sing a hymn that you know.